now.
And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Bitcoin is currently trading at $3,962, up 2% in the last 24 hours. We have Ripple currently trading at 35 cents. That's up 1.5%. Ethereum currently trading at $110. That's up 2.5%. Stellar currently trading at 15 cents, up 1%. And Bitcoin Cash trading at $152, down 4%. And EOS currently at $2.46, down 5% in the last 24 hours. I want to give a big shout out to Freecoin, which is up 455% today. That's currently trading at like a tenth of a cent. The volume on that in the last 24 hours has been $1,813, and with the market cap of 69 million. So that's an interesting one. It reminds me of kind of like 2017 coming into Christmas, and every day you'd see a new altcoin up like 400%, and everyone would get really excited and start buying the next one they thought would be the next explosion, and everyone was super excited. But with this one, because of the volume figures, it looks like someone bought $1,000 worth. It drove the price up massively. The current market cap is $128 billion, and Bitcoin's dominance of that is 53.8%. So the volume figures for the last 24 hours are $13.8 billion. And to really kind of put this into perspective, I think we have to look at kind of a week view here. So last Wednesday, we saw $20 billion traded in volume in the overall market for the crypto space, and that's now down to 13.8 billion. So we're seeing kind of a small step down there in volume figures. But listen, it's interesting times. We're seeing more and more projects delivering, which is great, and that's what people really need to do. People raise all this money in ICOs, and what they need to do is just deliver. And there's obviously a small percent of people, or, you know, the percent of people is unknown of how many people kept the ICO money they raised in ETH actually in ETH and are really struggling at the minute. But guess what? On the flip side of that, there was a lot of projects that held on, sold at a high, and are doing incredibly well with their treasury. So it's really interesting to see which projects are putting out good information at the minute, which ones are building community, which ones are building brand, which ones are actually developing. Because guess what? In the next run up, those guys are in a really, really strong position. So with that in mind, let's get into the next part of the show. And what we have for you is something slightly different. We have a audio clip that we took on our trip to Santa Monica, which recently, well, today went live on our YouTube channel. To visit the video, type www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto. The video is titled Silicon Beach, California, Day 2 Vlog. It was the vlog of our second day. And it's a great watch. It's not only our trip to the Ikigai offices, but also to the Everpedia offices as well. So if you haven't already, check it out now. Give it a like, share your thoughts in the comment section. So let's get down to business. All right. So let's talk about this clip and who's in it. We're with Timothy Lewis. Timothy Lewis, for those who don't know, has spent over 20 years in security architecture and data space. He's held top network security certifications in Cisco, Microsoft, including the CCIE in written security, RNS, and voice. He was one of the main guys at DNA Fund. Also founded Liberty Block, which was one of the EOS block producers, and is really, really big in the space, being an early investor in Ethereum when it first came to market. So someone with a lot of experience in the crypto space. If you're in this space, you would have probably heard of Timothy Lewis or Liberty Block, some of the things he's been doing. He's appearing on many different podcasts out there as well, including our one, where we had a deep dive with the guy. I've been Timothy Lewis, and you'll find it. With us in the room was Travis Kling. Travis spent over 10 years in traditional finance before founding Ikigai. Most recently, he was a long-short equity portfolio manager at Point72. Through to 2017. Prior to that, Travis was an energy analyst at Magnetar Capital, which I believe managed around $4.6 billion, and he was there from 2011 to 2015. So, super interesting guy, really comes from the institutional world, And what we're doing at the minute, myself, Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, and Hugh Cochran, the other co-founder of SVK Crypto, we're having a discussion in the room, and we were talking about valuations in the crypto space and what our take on that is and what metrics we currently have to work from. And Travis is kind of giving us his insight and how he sees things. So with that in mind, let's get to the clip. Let's get down to business.
Hey Hugh, how are you, Travis?
He's our CIO. We lead our organization in a way to where it's not only institutionally compliant, but it's done with the ethics that we think are required to shepherd this technology. The technology, as you know, is so powerful, and the opportunities that this technology can provide can either do amazing things for humanity or could hinder and enslave humanity like never before. So making sure that when we operate with people of ethics and that have that understanding of the technology and the power is important to us.
And your relationship and Travis's relationship, how far do you go back? How did you get to know each other?
6 years. 6 years, yeah. Okay. Knew him in Chicago, and Chicago's a fun city. Both of us have
Were you working with Soc Gen at that time, or where
I
were
was,
you?
Yeah.
And okay. I was at a hedge fund called Magnetar Capital.
I know Magnetar.
Yeah. And then, as you can probably tell, we take a yin and yang approach here, right, with building Eeky Guys. So we've got the lifelong technologist, network systems engineer by background, and a guy that's been around this technology since before the BTC white paper was even written.
Yeah.
And that's combined with a guy that had a career in traditional hedge fund asset management. And we think when we put those two things together, it's the right combination of skill sets and knowledge bases to go and make the best investment decisions possible for the space.
And that strategy going forward will be what? Like, what will be your kind of mandate or your strategy? Is it more of a trading strategy? Is it long only? Were you arbing?
Multi-strat.
So 25% of the assets under management are dedicated into venture investing in the crypto asset space.
Okay,
so
traditional
stakes. Tokens and equity. So
right.
Newly listed tokens and the equity of the entities that are issuing the tokens. And then 75% of the assets under management is dedicated into a long, short, multi-strat, which is liquid hedge fund strategies applied to the crypto asset space, which is a lot like what I've been doing over the last 7 years in Magnetar and at Point72.
Right.
We also have an internal ventures business, which Tim runs, that I half jokingly call our accidental incubator. and so we were just seeing some opportunities come across our plate in the crypto asset space that were, too early to just write a check into from the venture fund perspective, but too compelling to just walk away from and say it's not for us. So we, Tim's kind of leading the efforts on spinning up a few different things there. We got
Liberty Block was one of those.
Right.
Yeah. Byzantine's one of those. We got about half a dozen irons in the fire there that we think are some pretty compelling opportunities. So
and how do you find the difference when you where you're looking at an equity long short strategy on traditional markets compared to the cryptocurrency markets? I mean, what differences do you see? And how do you deal with those challenges, or opportunities maybe?
So the infrastructure is drastically different, right? That's kind of one of the first things, right? Is just the types of things that you just take for granted, working at a world class hedge funds in terms of the trading infrastructure, the portfolio management. Something as simple as just having a Bloomberg terminal that's got every piece of data that you would ever need.
Yeah.
You've got
all
a whole
markets.
Ecosystem of equity sell side research that's providing, pointed thoughts and observations about the asset class that you're looking at. Another big, massive difference is that valuation frameworks. And for the S&P 500, we've been looking at price to earnings ratio for going on 100 years now, right? I tell people, my career was focused in energy investing, equities investing.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to buy a share of ExxonMobil today, am I paying a lot or a little for a share of ExxonMobil?
Well, you can.
In my old line of work, I got about
you can value
40
it out.
Different tools in the tool shed to help me decide whether or not I'm paying a lot or a little. So then and a lot of those are metrics that are based on revenues, earnings, cash flows, assets, growth. I can take my oil price assumption and plug it into my ExxonMobil model.
Yeah.
It'll spit out an EPS. I can put a PE ratio on. There's all kinds of different ways. Essentially, all of that goes out the window as you move into this new asset class, and so you have to kind of do a lot of fundamental research around around the manner in which you can look at the fundamental drivers of valuation for these asset classes. And you can look at things like network activity, right? And we know that there's a relationship between network value and network activity.
Yeah.
And you can measure that with on-chain metrics. You can measure that with various different wallet forensic. You can measure that with community vibrancy metrics, like things that are going on in GitHub.
Yeah.
You can measure that with sentiment analysis, natural language processing, because you know one of the really interesting things about this space relative to traditional hedge fund investing is that smart people talk out loud about what they like and what they don't like in this asset class, and that opens up for a whole bunch of interesting possibilities.
And that will develop, right, as well. All those critical points, right, they will develop as the space matures, right?
Yeah.
After we start to see adoption, or after we start to see revenue, or we start to see some other framework that we can attach a valuation to, right?
Yeah, we're developing a lot of those tools.
I was going to say, we'd like to think we're kind of at the bleeding edge of understanding this highly dynamic sort of framework of how do we value these things. It's an incredibly foundational question that has not been answered in this ecosystem. I can tell you for sure that our understanding of value accrual in crypto assets today is drastically different than it was a year ago. And a year before that, it was essentially non-existent.
Right.
Yeah. And so you posit that against like The Intelligent Investor, Benjamin Graham, that was written in the late 30s, I think, and is still one of the most seminal books on equity investing ever.
Right.
So that's exciting.
Right.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I think it's the opportunity that we realize, right? And that's what excites us, is that we know it's early, right? We know it's difficult to call. We don't have a crystal ball, but we just got to stay in the game. And everything that we're looking for, all those points, all those data points, all those projects, all those companies that will start to use maybe even just a small set, 5 or 10% of their business onto the blockchain, and how that starts to roll out. I mean, when you've got the opportunity to see it right from inception point, right?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about as early as you were looking at the mining side of it. I'm talking about when you look at the inception point of institutional capital now and have been looking at the space for a year, but still very much not involved. It's going to be interesting to see how that all rolls out and all the products that come around with that and the regulatory framework and the custody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So we hope you found some value out of the clip there. I thought it was really interesting because of what Travis was talking about in regards to the valuation metrics and what you have in the traditional sense, the institutional space, right? Where you have the Bloomberg terminal, you have all these different ways of measuring that, and the crypto space hasn't really been developed yet. So it's a really interesting point there. And it's something that we share as a space. No one's really figured it out yet. There's no fair way to value something. You can't use traditional metrics to do that as well. So that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We hope you had some value out of today's podcast. As always, hit us up on Twitter at @svk_crypto. Feel free to email myself, cstory, cstory, at svkcrypto.com. And of course, hit us up on Telegram, svkcrowd, one word. Or feel free to put a space in between SVK and crowd. That will take you to our page, and would love to speak to each and every one of you. That's where it goes down. So that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention, as always.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.